Well, it's been quite a week. Just a week ago, we were celebrating Palm Sunday. Those of you who are here in Whitehorse are celebrating here. I was celebrating down in California with my parents, and it was quite a day. Palm Sunday, the day that Jesus rode into Jerusalem. The crowds were cheering him on, anticipating some great changes. Some great advances. Little did they know that what Jesus had in mind was different than what they had in mind. And Jesus knew what was coming ahead. While people were cheering, he was looking down on Jerusalem and he was weeping for them. It wasn't long before that, long after, I should say, that Jesus was betrayed by one of his closest friends. He was denied by an even closer friend. Soon he was led to a mock trial where he was tortured and eventually executed on what we've come to know as Good Friday. And it's interesting because at that moment in time, from the perspective at least of those who were closest to him, all was lost. I don't know if we could really understand Easter without grasping the pain, the emotional and physical pain of Good Friday as Jesus took our sins upon himself. At that moment, all hopes, all dreams had been replaced with fear and doubt. If you were one of the ones that was close to Jesus at that time, you would have wondered, if this is what happened to Jesus, what was going to happen to me next? It was a very difficult time, excruciatingly painful for those who knew and loved and followed Jesus. It was a time of great confusion. Things didn't go the way they were supposed to. They had it in their minds that this is how things would work out, even though Jesus had hinted and even said clearly that they wouldn't be that way. They still had this idea in their mind that this is how things would work out. And as they seen Jesus die, it must have been one of the most painful experiences they could imagine. And it was with that kind of heaviness of heart that two women found their way to a tomb early on a Sunday morning. Because Jesus had been crucified late on Friday and the Sabbath had begun and nothing could be done on Saturday, it was Sunday morning, the first opportunity that the women who cared for Jesus would have to take care of his body and prepare it for a final resting place on a Sunday morning. And so they had gotten up quite early while it was still dark, the scripture says, and headed for the tomb, again with that heaviness of heart. Boy, were they in for a surprise, because when they went to the tomb, no one was home. As the scripture says, the stone had been rolled away. Jesus' body wasn't there. I'm sure there was a moment of confusion. And as the scripture says, when they saw the angel, a great amount of fear. And then came the realization of what had happened. As the angel says to the women, "Why are you looking for the living among the dead?" Oh, I just love that statement. Why are you looking for the living among the dead? In other words, what's wrong with you? Why are you bothering? Why are you here? Don't you know? You didn't think Friday was really going to be the end of it, did you? Why are you looking for the living over here? After all, wasn't it
It wasn't all that long ago that Jesus had raised Lazarus from the dead. You might remember the story in John chapter 11. Lazarus had been sick and dying, and help had been called. Jesus had been summoned, and Jesus delayed. It's like that with Jesus sometimes. You call, you plead earnestly, painfully even. And oh, we would love to have that answer right now. We would love to see him come, bang, and solve the problem and do what he does best and come in his glory. But Jesus delayed, and he delayed quite intentionally. And by the time Jesus had shown up, Lazarus, his friend, had been dead for not just 1 or 2 days, but for 4 days. And I wonder if the women, when they heard the angel's announcement, might have thought back to that day. How Jesus had raised Lazarus from the dead, and now Jesus himself was raised back to life. And then later on, when they saw Jesus, it just turned their whole world inside out and right side up instead of upside down. Just one look at Jesus made all the difference in their world. There's a song that used to be sung, and I don't know, we haven't sung it, I don't think, in a long time. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life's trials will seem so small when we see Christ. One glimpse of his dear face, all sorrow will erase. So gladly run the race until we see Christ. And in a sense, that's what happened to the women who had run off to the tomb. In one moment, their entire outlook was changed. In a moment, they went from the deepest despair to the grandest rejoicing. And the difference was that Jesus was alive. Jesus was alive. Why are you looking for the living among the dead? Could it really be? Yes, of course it can. In fact, going back to the story of Lazarus in John chapter 11, there was something that Jesus said that would provide an important clue as to what was coming up in Jesus' own life. You remember Lazarus had been dead for 4 days. And I'm sure that many people had come by to the house to offer condolences to Martha. Many would have come to Martha and hugged her and probably even reminded her, your brother will rise again. One day, your brother will rise again. There are probably many people who encouraged her in this way. And then Jesus showed up. And what he said is probably what others had said as well. Your brother will rise again. And sometimes you get to a breaking point. And I think for Martha in John 11, this might have been a breaking point. She blurts out in verse 24, she says to Jesus, I know he will rise again in the resurrection of the last day. And while the scriptures don't say it, I can imagine Martha thinking through a little bit more, but that's a long way away. What comfort is there for me today? I know my brother will rise again in the last day, but what about today? What hope is there for me today? And it's in that context that Jesus made one of the most important statements relevant for us. And again, before I read it, I want to remind you that it was written to, it was said to a woman who was grieving the loss of someone she loved. And so I wanted to say that if you have experienced loss, and I know few people who haven't, then this verse, this statement that Jesus made, is what makes Easter so important to us. This verse is why we can celebrate even in the midst of pain. So what did Jesus say to Martha? This is what he said. Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die." Jesus is saying he is the resurrection. It is true that there are several people in the Bible who were raised back to life. Jesus wasn't the only one. As we said, there was Lazarus that Jesus raised to life. There was the widow's son that Elijah raised to life. There was another woman's son that Elisha raised to life. There was Jairus' daughter. There was at least two, maybe three others that we know of that were raised back to life. But here's the thing. Eventually, all those people died again. When Jesus was raised to life, he did not die again. In a sense, this is the exciting part. In a sense, he raised the standard for resurrection. There were resurrections before. But when Jesus was raised back to life, he raised the standard of what resurrection even means, because he lives. Paul would describe it later on as the first fruits of those who will be raised back to life. His resurrection was permanent, is permanent. There's a story told of a man who was trying to decide what faith he would follow. And after consideration, he decided to become a Christian. When someone asked him why he chose to follow Christ, he answered, "Well, it's like this. Suppose you were going down a road and suddenly the road forked in two directions and you didn't know which way to go. If you met two men at the fork, one dead and one alive, which one would you ask to show you the way?" Jesus is alive. Jesus is the resurrection. He describes what it is. He is the resurrection and the life. And he went on to say, "Whoever believes in me will live even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die." Jesus had said back in John 3:16 that there is everlasting life. The bottom line of the gospel story, the bottom line of Easter, is that we can have eternal life. Jesus is the resurrection and the life. Jesus has said that he had come that we might have life and have it to the full. The wages of sin were death. And that's still true today. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. Jesus said, "I have come that you might have life and have it to the full." And then after Jesus made this statement to Martha, "I am the resurrection and the life," he asked her a question. "Do you believe this?" He said, "He who believes in me will never die." When Jesus asked, "Do you believe this?" He is not simply asking if we affirm his existence. Sadly, there are many people who believe that because they believe in God, that they will have eternal life. Scripture says that even the demons believe in God, and they shudder. There's a difference between believing and believing. There's an old story told, and I hope it's just a story, but I don't know, maybe it's true, about a guy walking a tightrope across Niagara Falls, pushing a wheelbarrow in front of him. And he asked the many bystanders that had gathered if they believed he could make it across. And almost all of them cheered him on, saying, "Yes, we know you can do it. We believe in you." Then he asked, "Who would be willing to take a ride in the wheelbarrow across Niagara Falls?" And that became a different story. You see, there's a difference between believing and believing. There's a difference between intellectual assent to something and putting one's faith and life in the hands of another. And when Jesus says, "Whoever lives and believes in me will never die," he isn't saying that he's looking for someone to pat him on the back and say, "We believe in you, Jesus. Go, Jesus. Yeah." He's looking for people who would put their faith in him, whose lives would be in his hands. His blood was shed for our sins. He took our sin upon himself. He became the sacrifice for us. He was the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And as he conquered the grave, he became the resurrection and the life, just as he said. And after he told Martha that he was the resurrection and the life, he asked her, "Do you believe this?" In other words, do you really believe me when I make this claim? Do you want the life that I offer? You see, the thief comes to kill and destroy. Jesus comes to offer us life, real life. And the question for us today on Easter Sunday is, do you believe Jesus is the resurrection and the life? Do you want to have that abundant life that Jesus offers you? It's there for you if you would believe. Not simply believing that Jesus existed, that he was a good man, and so on and so forth, but to put your faith, your life, into his hands, to trust his sacrifice for your sins, for my sins. I know of no better day to put one's faith in Christ than today. Scripture says that to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. That is what Easter is all about. That is made possible because of Easter, Christ's death and resurrection. And I want to encourage you, if you haven't yet, I want to encourage you to celebrate Easter by affirming or by putting your faith in Christ. And for all of you who have already done so, it's time to rejoice. Death is no longer the victor. Death has lost its sting. Or, as Paul put to the Corinthians, the sting of death is sin, the power of sin is the law, but thanks be to God, He gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And friends, on this Easter Sunday morning, I just want to remind you and encourage you that victory was won for you. You just need to reach out and take a hold of it. Christ died for you. Christ died for me. And even more so, He came to life. He is the resurrection and the life, the first fruits of all those who will follow Him. I want to encourage you this morning. We have a reason to celebrate. We have a reason to hope. We have the presence and the peace of God in our lives. And if you have not received that, I want to encourage you that you can today. Just call out to Him. Reach out to Him. You could do it in multiple ways. Pray to Him. Ask Him to come into your life. Put your faith in Him and celebrate Easter. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, our Lord, we just come to You today and we want to thank You for this beautiful day. We thank You, Lord, for the meaning of Easter and how You have conquered the grave. You have given victory. You are the first fruits. You are the resurrection and the life. And Lord, You offer to us life, abundant life. And I pray this morning, this Easter morning, that if there is anyone here who has not experienced the life-changing grace of Jesus, I pray, Father God, that they may call out to You right now, just in a moment of prayer, say, Lord Jesus, I believe You died for my sins. I am a sinner. I need You. I need a cross from death to life. Give me the life that You promised for those who would receive You. I pray, Father God, for each one of us here, that we would know You, that we would celebrate You, and Lord, when we leave this place, we would go with victory in our hearts, for we do serve a risen Savior. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.